This is Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook of Calvary Baptist Church. On today's edition.
And in this case, as Christians, our primary allegiance is not to the United States, it's to heaven, it's to Christ. He is our master. He is the one in whose authority we go. Christ has given us his message, and so we go in his authority. We speak for him. We stand up for the interest of his kingdom while we temporarily live in this foreign land. Again, this world is not our home.
God often leads his followers to be ambassadors in foreign and even dangerous places. In fact, many of the apostles were martyred for the message of Christ. They believed that God's purposes were greater than any authority here on earth, and they submitted their lives to his will. Are you living your life in submission to God's authority? In today's message, Pastor Dave will teach you that Jesus' command to make disciples of all the nations is given by an authority that supersedes all powers here on earth. Now, here's Pastor Dave in the book of Matthew chapter 7.
And when we consider that, all he went through and all he had to do was say the word, and 10,000 legions of angels would come down and wipe out all of his enemies, but yet he stayed on the cross. He subjected himself. He laid down his life willingly for us. But he had the authority. He didn't have to do that. It was his choice, willingly, because of his love. In Revelation 5, John pictures Christ seated on the throne of God in heaven, and the angels are surrounding the throne, and they're lifting up their voices in worship. And it says, "Then I looked," this is John, "then I looked and I heard around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" They're praising him, worshiping him, saying, "You are worthy of everything. You have all power. You have all authority. You are to be praised above all." They consider Jesus worthy of everything they could. I mean, any worship we could possibly give, it's not even enough. He deserves more and more and more. And so with this power and glory and honor and all that they're saying he deserves, certainly that implies authority. He has all authority. He is the king. He's the one to be praised. But it's not only the angels that recognize the authority of Jesus. The demons recognize him also. They recognize his authority also. In Mark chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, we see that the demons acknowledge Jesus' authority over them. It says, "And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, 'What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" They knew he had authority over them. The demons also obeyed his rebuke of them. Our culture so often tends to paint this battle between God and Satan as if it's a battle between two equal but opposite forces. There's the good and the bad, like the light and dark side of the force, right? There's two sides, and we don't know which one's going to win. Well, that is absolutely not what Scripture tells us. That is not what Scripture tells us. Jesus had power and does have power over Satan and his demons. They can do nothing without his allowing it. You can certainly see God has Satan on a leash in Job, right? Satan has to ask permission to do the things that he does to Job, that he only can go as far as God allows. And the demons here in Mark chapter 1, 25 and 26, Jesus rebuked this demon saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And again, demons have tremendous power of their own, but they could not resist the authority of Jesus. In addition to the angels and the demons, we see the redeemed, those that are redeemed and are in the presence of God, also recognize his authority. Revelation chapter 7, we have another picture of heaven and the throne room in heaven. It's another scene that's unfolded for us. And here in John's description, he says this, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." At the beginning of Revelation, in Revelation 1, John praises Christ for having authority over all of the kings of the earth. He writes in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, "From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth." He goes on, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." He has redeemed us, and he makes us a kingdom of priests to the Father. And he will have dominion forever and ever. So here, although we are on this side of glory still yet, as those who he has redeemed, as those who have been purchased by his blood, shouldn't we also recognize his authority? So we saw the right of Jesus' authority, we saw the recognition of Jesus' authority, and finally we're going to consider the reach of Jesus' authority. So how far does his authority go? Now, considering the verses that we've already looked at, I'm sure you won't be surprised at the answer of how far his authority goes. Jesus gives the answer himself as he's presenting his disciples with their final marching orders just before he ascends into heaven. And you know, when we think about the Great Commission, this powerful instruction by Jesus right before he heads up to heaven, we usually focus on verse 19. And verse 19 says this, very familiar passage, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Right? So we focus on that, realize, okay, we need to evangelize. We need to bring people into the faith as they make a profession of faith, and we need to baptize them in obedience to Christ. So we get that part, but we often forget about the verse right before it and the verse right after it. And, you know, the verse right before it is important, and we can tell that it's important without even looking at it. Just looking at verse 19 of Matthew 28, we can look at that verse knowing that the verse before it has to be of significance, because the verse again says, "Go therefore." Now we know, as good Bible students, that when you see a therefore, you have to find out what it's there for, right? That word therefore is pointing back to something that was said just before. So as we look at verse 18, we are to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, but we're to do that because of what Jesus says in verse 18. It says, "Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" So Jesus has been given all authority on heaven and earth. That's pretty expansive. That's pretty wide authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ. And because of that, we now can go. We now are to go and make disciples of all nations. Because while there may be people that say, "You cannot share the gospel here," we certainly see that in the book of Acts. The apostles were told multiple times, they were beaten, they were imprisoned, they were said, "You do not do this. Stop speaking in this name of Jesus. Stop doing it." And they said, "We have to obey God other than man." Jesus has been given all authority, and he told us to do this. His authority trumps your authority. You have authority. I am to listen to you in your authority, inasmuch as those commands that you give me under your authority don't conflict with my higher authority. And my higher authority is Jesus Christ, and he has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he has told me to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. I cannot do otherwise. So is that our mentality? Do we look at what this Bible says? Do we look at his words? And again, remember that not just in the Gospels, not just the red letters are Jesus' words. Those are the words that he himself spoke physically out of his physical human mouth. But all of Scripture is God-breathed, and Jesus is God. He is the divine Logos. He is the Word made flesh. It's all his Word. So are we going to say Jesus has been given all authority and therefore this trumps anything else that's told to me in any other authority outside of this? So therefore I must obey God rather than man. This is the authority that Jesus has. This is the authority that he gives to us through him giving us a command as we follow his commands. So we go in the authority that belongs to Christ, not in our own authority. And as we've said many times before, you've probably heard me say this before, we are, and this isn't original, it's in the Bible, we are ambassadors for Christ, right? We're called that in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Paul says we are ambassadors for Christ. So if I was an ambassador for our country, if the president were to appoint me as an ambassador to some foreign country, if that were to happen by some crazy stretch of the imagination, what I would do is I would be representing the United States in a foreign culture. I would go over to whatever country it is, Japan, Africa, whatever, you know, Ethiopia, whatever country it may be, I am now there to represent the interests of my home nation. That's what I'm there for. I'm living in this other nation. I'm living in Japan or whatever, but I'm there representing, speaking for, right, my home nation. And I'm not just speaking whatever I want. I can't just go there and say, yeah, we're going to give you guys all that you want. We're just going to send all of our money over to you. I can't do that, right? Because that's not the authority that's been given to me. The authority that's been given to me as an ambassador of the United States over in Japan is the authority to pass on what has been told to me by my superiors, by the president or whoever else, right? So they speak, I take that and then act, and I can speak only what has been spoken to me. That's who we are. We are ultimately not primarily Americans. We aren't. We are citizens of heaven who are residing right now in the United States. That's not to diminish patriotism. I'm not saying that. The Bible tells us we're to be good citizens of where we live. But this is not our primary authority and or country that we are a part of. We are a citizen of heaven as an ambassador here in this country. Now, if I'm an ambassador of the U.S. over in Japan, am I going to, you know, respect their country? Of course. But my primary allegiance is not to Japan, it's to the United States. And in this case, as Christians, our primary allegiance is not to the United States, it's to heaven, it's to Christ. He is our master. He is the one in whose authority we go. Christ has given us his message, and so we go in his authority. We speak for him. We stand up for the interest of his kingdom while we temporarily live in this foreign land. Again, this world is not our home. Now, Jesus received this authority when he ascended to sit at God's right hand. You look what it says in Ephesians 1, 20 and 21. Paul talks about the power that was worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Also in 1 Peter 3:22, speaking of Jesus, Peter says that he has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. All other authorities are subject to him. All other authorities are subject to Jesus. He is the ultimate authority. As mentioned by John in Revelation, Jesus' authority extends over all the kings of the earth. We saw that in Revelation 1. He's also, as Paul wrote to Timothy, Jesus is referred to as the King of Kings. He's not just a king, he is the King of Kings. He is the king over all other kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's not just a Lord, he is the Lord over all other possible potential lords. And his authority, of course, if he has all of that authority, it of course extends over the church. The church is his bride. Colossians 1:18 says, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. He's also the savior of the body. It says in Ephesians 5, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. As the head, he delegated authority to his apostles and to a lesser extent to all of his followers, to all believers. And he promised to guide his people by the Spirit. John 16, 12 and 13, he's talking to his disciples and he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now, this is primarily speaking of the Spirit empowering the apostles to write the New Testament, preserving all of Jesus' deeds and his teaching, so we would have an accurate account of all that Jesus said and did, and also what he requires of us. But this would also include and relate to and apply to the Spirit illuminating the Scripture to all of his people. Jesus also proclaimed that whoever receives his followers receives him. Certainly the apostles represented Christ as the foundation of his church. They had authority over all of the churches, but this also extends to us as his followers because Jesus identifies with his people. When Paul was persecuting the church, Jesus appeared and didn't say, why are you persecuting my people? Why are you persecuting my church? He said, why are you persecuting me? In the very same way, as others receive us and embrace the message that we preach, they are embracing and receiving Christ. Jesus has also extended his authority to us in that we're called in Matthew 28:20, the verse right after that familiar Great Commission verse, is that as part of the Great Commission, not only are we to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but also we are to teach others to observe all that he has commanded. So the reach of Jesus' authority extends to all corners of his creation, and certainly in a very special way over his people, his church. So as we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, we see that the crowd who was there live, listening to it face to face, as they were listening to it, they could sense that there was something different about this guy, right? He was teaching with an uncommon authority. And as is revealed throughout the New Testament, Jesus truly has all authority on heaven and on earth. This is a truth that needs to be confessed in order to be saved. Romans 10:9, again, familiar verse about salvation, says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means that he has the authority, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Philippians 2:9-11, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And while right now we can choose whether or not to bow the knee to Jesus, we need to bow the knee willingly, but we can resist, we can refuse. But we should recognize that whether we want to or not, one day at the judgment, all will bow the knee to Christ. All will confess this truth. Romans 14, 10 through 12 says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. The key issue for us is not just that we recognize Jesus' authority, but what we will do in light of Jesus' authority. Will we listen to him and obey the one who speaks with this kind of authority? Will we, as his church, allow his word to lead and guide us in our journey through life? Because the Bible tells us that those who truly confess Jesus as Lord will do what he says. So if you're here and you've not truly been following Christ, I mean, you may give mental assent to Jesus as the Son of God. You may say, yeah, he's the Son of God. He has authority. That may be your mental assent. You may say that you believe, yeah, I believe he died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose again on the third day. That all may be true, and yet you still may not be saved. Jesus has all authority, and he said that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. Our obedience to his word shows its evidence that our heart has been made new, that we have been born again. If we truly encounter the resurrected Christ, we cannot be unchanged. I mean, if you look at Paul on the road to Damascus, when he meets the resurrected Christ on that road, you cannot possibly consider a more radical transformation. He went from one who was looking to persecute and destroy the church into being a champion for and a leader in the church. He was persecuting the church of Christ to being an apostle of Christ, bringing the word of God to the Gentiles. And him, think about Paul as the most educated, formally, of all of the apostles, the one who was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. To him, before his conversion, the Gentiles were dogs. And he not only turns from his old way of thinking into following Christ as the Messiah, as Savior, but then he goes and takes that message to the Gentiles, those who they wouldn't even want to touch, that would be unclean. What a radical transformation. You can't encounter the resurrected Christ and be unchanged. So if that is you, if you say, yeah, I believe these things with my mind, but I have to be honest, I'm recognizing that I'm not really following him in obedience, well, the answer is to repent and turn to him. Pray that he would change you and that he would empower you to live a life that honors him, to live a life of obedience. Pray that he would empower you to put your sin to death. As the song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way. May we all honor and embrace the authority of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this message, this understanding that Jesus was different from all other teachers. He spoke with authority because he himself is the Word. He is the very creator. He is the redeemer. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we have his word. We have your word that's been passed down to us, that we can know you. And Lord, we thank you for sending your son as the redeemer of sinful man who have turned away from you and who continually seek to find other ways to find satisfaction. And Lord, we know that you are the only one that can bring peace to our soul. You're the only one that can bring us true satisfaction and comfort, and the only one who can save, the only one who can give us true eternal life, life that is abundant. And Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we pray that you would empower us to live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you missed any part of Pastor Dave Cook's teaching today on Road to Calvary, or if you'd like to listen to others like it, we encourage you to visit cbcriverhead.org. Once you're there, just click on the Sermons tab. If there's anything from today's teaching that you have a question on, or if you have any prayer requests you'd like us to pray for, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us. Call us at 631-727-4112. That number again is 631-727-4112. While we're honored to spend time with you through the airwaves on Road to Calvary, we're aware that having a church community is vital to your growth as a believer. If you're not involved in a local church yet, we encourage you to find one. In fact, if you're in or near the Riverhead area, we'd love to have you join us here at Calvary Baptist Church of Riverhead, New York. We gather each Sunday at 10:50 a.m. for a time of worship and Bible study. You can find all the information you need at cbcriverhead.org. To stay in touch with us throughout the week, find us on Facebook and YouTube. Links to both of those media sites are available on our website. Again, that was cbcriverhead.org. Before you go, we'd ask that you prayerfully consider donating to this ministry. We couldn't do it without listeners like you, and we greatly appreciate any and all amounts. Just click on the Giving tab on our website. Thanks for giving, and thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Road to Calvary.